Hi, this is Jonathan Paley of the Nervous Eaters, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acra.
Find out where the music takes Lego Belt on the next Deep Threes when he remixes music made on a rainy weekend. Cinema Purdue visits a busy train station, and Mark Peters relaunches a project on a larger scale. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday, there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org and add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to wgxc.org and clicking on the community calendar.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-I's into here's-how-you-cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Spike's Record Rack in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
You are listening to Transmission Arts Programming on WGXC 90.7 FM.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC News Update. Go to the WGXC Newsroom, wgxc.org, for more information about any of these stories. Andrea Macko reports at Porcupine Soup that as a horrific police beating video is released in Memphis, in Greene County, Hunter Mountain officials took down a photo they posted of the East Coast Police Winter Games from January 18th and 19th. The image removed showed skiing officers displaying thin blue line flags. Hunter Mountain posted on social media that, quote, in celebrating the 27th annual New York Police Department ski races, a photo including thin blue line flags was posted. Feedback on the post was swift, leading us to remove the photo and work to better understand its undertones and meaning. We will continue to have conversations about this internally and do better to ensure that inclusivity is conveyed and celebrated in all that we do, unquote. The group Anti-Racist Catskills thanked Hunter Mountain on social media, writing, quote, we hope that your actions to remove these photos show a good faith effort to do the right thing and was not merely an attempt to cover hide your actions, unquote. Other comments on social media attacked Hunter Mountain for removing the photo. Read more about the story at Porcupine Soup. Rachel Silberstein reports in the Times Union that the Schoharie County government is defying a state order to reinstate their health director. Dr. Amy Gildermeister was unanimously approved for a new contract by the County Board of Health, but the Supervisors Board has refused to authorize her salary because she enforced mask mandates and advocated for vaccines during the COVID-19 pandemic. Gildermeister's previous term ended on January 21st, and Gildermeister had been going into the office since then, as directed by Acting State Health Commissioner James V. McDonald, who in a January 12th letter advised that only members of the County Health Board, not legislators, have the legal authority to appoint or remove a county health official. Quote, finding no evidence that the Schoharie County Board of Health engaged in the required removal proceeding or provided Dr. Gildermeister an opportunity to be heard, I must also find that the Board of Supervisors' attempt to remove Dr. Gildermeister is null and void as a matter of law, unquote, McDonald wrote. But this week, Gildermeister's access to her office has been restricted. A spokesperson for the State Department of Health says the agency will take enforcement action against the Schoharie County Board of Supervisors. More than half of the state's county public health leaders have left their jobs since the start of the COVID-19 health crisis, including, in recent weeks, the health directors in Columbia and Greene counties. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Heather Bellow reports in the Berkshire Eagle that Great Barrington Select Board Housing Subcommittee Chair Lee Davis is proposing a real estate tax break for anyone who offers year-round affordable rentals on a portion of their property. If the Great Barrington Board approves the idea, the proposal could come before town voters at an annual town meeting in May. Officials are looking at an affordable housing rental exemption in Provincetown as an example of one way to help the affordable housing crisis locally. Davis said, quote, "It encourages affordable housing within neighborhoods and it's a scattered sites approach," unquote. The entire area has seen soaring housing prices in recent years and a shortage of affordable housing. Davis also wants the town to consider levying a 0.5% to 2% fee on some real estate transactions to add to the town's Affordable Housing Trust Fund. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
New York pharmacists would be able to dispense abortion medication under newly proposed legislation, and a person could get the prescription from a physician online or by mail. This comes after the U.S. Food and Drug Administration issued new guidance allowing retail pharmacies to sell abortion pills. According to the Guttmacher Institute, medication abortions made up 54% of all abortions in the country in 2020. New York Assemblywoman Amy Paulin, the bill's author, says it hasn't been filed yet, but if it passes, it should help people who don't want to visit an abortion clinic.
If you can walk into a pharmacy and get this medication over the counter, you're much more likely to do it. Not everybody's going to go to a provider. Not everyone feels comfortable. And providers are doing this with telehealth, so it doesn't require an exam.
The bill is part of a larger push by New York elected officials to expand abortion services in the state. In anticipation of the U.S. Supreme Court ruling that ended federal abortion rights last June, Governor Kathy Hochul signed a far-reaching package of legislation to improve access, as well as $35 million allocated to support abortion providers in New York State's 2022 budget. While the bill is still in its earliest stages, Paulin says she's ready to meet whatever challenges come when it is filed. Abortion opponents in New York have encouraged such alternatives as better family services and making adoption easier. Paulin knows the work won't end with this bill and says she's eager to work on whatever comes next.
I'm working closely with advocate groups like Planned Parenthood and ACOG, so if barriers come up, we will immediately address them. I think right now we're just exploring some of those barriers, and we will be putting legislation in shortly to alleviate them.
Other upcoming legislation would have all SUNY and CUNY colleges and universities offer abortion care, new protections of personal data for anyone seeking an abortion, and increased doctor reimbursement rates for reproductive health care services. I'm Edwin J. Vieira, New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC renewable weather forecast for Sunday, January 29th. The renewable weather forecast always starts off with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Cumberland Farms in Cairo has gas at $3.55 a gallon, according to the Gas Buddy website. The air quality forecast is just a 9, very low on Sunday, and the UV index is just a 1, also on the low side. The water temperature in the Hudson River is at 37.36 degrees. This is about a half a degree above normal for January 29th over the past 10 years. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a 50% chance of rain, mainly after 2 p.m. on Sunday. With cloudy skies, a high of 43 and a south wind 6 to 14 miles per hour. There's a forecast low of 31 on Sunday night with a south wind around 9 miles per hour from the northwest, changing to the northwest, spinning local windmills. Then Monday, there's a 20% chance of rain showers after 1 p.m., and it could mix with snow as the evening gets chillier. Mostly cloudy skies are in the forecast with a high of 40 and a low around 21 Monday night. Then Tuesday should be cloudy with a high of 26 and a low around 11. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
You have the already global networks. So my argument is very simple. The present media is too large and wasteful. From now on, we should think about the more smaller media to diverse our culture and community. I have different idea on airwave. Airwave belong to the every people, everybody, not to the states or a government. Okay, I will make the transmitter now. This is Pepper Tiger Radio, special radio station. Telephone number is 212-420-9045.
Pedimos que por favor reporten al 420-9045. Estamos midiendo la fuerza de esta transmisión, una nueva emisora.
This is great.
Let's but I have one of the VHS
independent narrowcasting.
Less than it costs to buy a real good radio.
Buildings.
This is WNYU too. We're actually going over a really powerful station.
Really? Right? We're going over NYU?
Yeah, so if you can imagine, if we go on a space that's not being used, we can go even further.
Yeah. Not that there are a lot in New York. But keep you as close to the mic. You guys know what's called. We're really getting a lot of reach and a lot of distance. Nobody lives around here, that's the thing. Tell me if I'm going to bump into these guys. It's not them, is it?
We're joined by Canyon Ryan, who is executive director of the United Tenants of Albany. He is one of the featured speakers at an event that a number of groups, including DSA, held in Troy on Wednesday, 25th at 6:30 p.m. at the James Connolly Social Club, and it was about good cause eviction and building a tenant power. So I know that good cause eviction was something that you all had won in the city of Albany. It's been in litigation. I understand there was a hearing about that, court hearing about the challenge. Do you want to tell us a little about why is a good cause eviction important? Where does it stand in Albany? And what is its prognosis for action at the state level?
Sure. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me on. Happy to. You know, City of Albany was the first municipality in New York State to pass good cause eviction. We worked really hard to get that bill through with Alfredo Ballarin carrying it as our common council member, and it passed overwhelmingly. All the bill really does is say, you know, you can't evict a tenant for no cause holdover, and it also limits rent increases to 5% within reason, meaning, you know, if you build a swimming pool in the backyard and the tenant has access to it, you can increase the rent as much as you need, but you can't unnecessarily increase the rent to kick a tenant out. The state struck it down. The Supreme Court said this is preempted by state law. Municipalities cannot do this because according to like renter law in New York State, landlord has the right to terminate a lease essentially at any time if they need to. The city appealed that. The case was stayed. And then on the 13th of January, oral arguments were heard on both sides. And the city of Albany tried to make the case that no, this is not preempted by state law. Municipalities have a right to do this. And the landlords, of course, said, you know, the Supreme Court made the correct decision, et cetera, et cetera. When we were there, I would say that the impression was the Court of Appeals, or rather the appellate court, was not too friendly to the argument. They didn't seem to understand what a month-to-month tenancy was. They seemed to, you know, have the understanding that when a lease ends, everything's over, and that's just the way it is. So I'm not feeling too confident. We'll have a final decision maybe by the end of February, early March. And either way, what we'll determine is how we're going to advocate for this at the state level, whether, you know, if the Court of Appeals says it's true, this is preempted by state law, that gives statewide campaigners the right to say, hey, we passed it at the municipal level, now the state needs to step in. If the Court of Appeals says, hey, you know, I think the city's right, then it'll go to the highest court in the state, in which case it'll be, you know, because it'll be appealed again by the landlords easily. And meanwhile, municipalities will likely continue to opt in, and that's just the rate it'll go, depending on which decision comes through.
Well, let's ask sort of a two-part question. One, this was not a lawsuit directly involving the state, but I'm kind of wondering whether any of the state agencies or the state attorney general filed, you know, front of the court type of brief to say, yes, we believe that Albany does have the right to do this. And then sort of the follow-up question, you know, what is the drumbeat in the state legislature in terms of trying to enact this type of legislation statewide at this point?
Yeah, so the state did not file an amicus brief in support of good cause. They kept their hands off. The Legal Aid of New York City filed an amicus brief in support of good cause, which just means friend of the court. We think that good cause is a good idea, and here's the reasons why. And United Tenants of Albany, with some help from the Albany Law School Center for Community Economic Development Clinic, they helped us file an amicus brief with the Bleecker Terrace Tenants Association to say, because of good cause, we're able to organize a tenant union without the fear of retaliatory eviction, and that's why it's important. So no, the state didn't step in. Regarding like how the state legislators are feeling about good cause, I can't say, but I can tell you that advocates are feeling really good that we're going to pass good cause this year. The biggest conversation seems to be if we're going to make any concessions and what those concessions might be. You know, I've heard some legislators say, well, maybe it'd be nice if cities could opt in. That's really a non-starter for us. We think that the state needs it. And in fact, in California, where there was an opt-in clause, eventually so many cities opted in with variations of what it meant that the realtor lobby lobbied the state to say, hey, you know, this is a little confusing for all of us. We'd rather just a blank slate, version of good cause. So that's one concession people are talking about. Another one is maybe adjusting what the unconscionable rent increase limitation is. Right now, I think it's 3% within, however the inflation is calculated in the area. But that's another really non-starter for a lot of us. We'll see what the legislature says. I can tell you a lot of groups are ready to get this across the finish line finally.
Now, I, you know, lived in New York City for almost a decade recently. And so I think when you live in New York City or downstate, you get the impression that housing costs are more reasonable in the rest of the state. But I also just read a report that suddenly almost half the counties have at least 25% or more of their tenants paying half of their, you know, income for rent. And in every single county, it's at least 10% of the residents are paying half of their income. How unaffordable is housing, you know, for low and moderate income people, say, in the Capital District?
I think it's 1 in 3 renters are rent burdened, which means more than 30%. And of that, more than 50% of the population is experiencing having to pay for housing more than 50% of their income. And in fact, you know, the average United Tenants of Albany tenant that we serve, the income's about $1,625 per month. Fair market rent for a one bedroom is now above $1,000. So we're basically saying the fair market rent for this area is more than half the income for the average low income tenant that United Tenants works with. So that's incredible. And also, I think it's 52% of children in the United States are considered low income. I was reading a housing policy book about this exact thing. And there's also another conversation going on about how we calculate what affordable housing is, because we seem to have this idea that it's 30% of the household income. However, if you include transportation costs, tenants with subsidized rent who are mandated that they only pay 30% of their income each month to housing, It tends to be that they're paying a quarter of their full income on transportation as well. So together, we're talking about, you know, over 50% of their income just going to housing and getting from work and back home. So when we're talking about what affordability is, there's a bigger conversation. But I can also just, you know, tell you that what is considered fair in this area is very unfair to low-income tenants.
Now, we only have about 2.5 minutes left. I was going to ask you how well did Governor Hochul did in the state of the state with respect to housing that you mentioned before we got the on. Yes, you talked about building some more housing units, but really not building more affordable housing units. But the second part of this workshop that was taking place on Wednesday, January 25th, was about building tenant power, which, of course, United Tenants is key to. And you mentioned earlier the Bleecker Terrace Association Tenants Group. What are some of the things right now that United Tenants is doing to build tenant power? And what are some of the steps you want to see in the future?
Yeah, so one great step would just be passing good cause at the state level that allows elders to age in place, in which case they can build a community around their home. That's really important. And that's one of the main reasons we're able to really organize tenants at Bleecker Terrace, because so many people had lived there for the last 30 years, given that it was formerly a LIHTC low-income housing tax credit property. United Tenants has also been working at 69 Trinity, where Asaf El-Kayyem, who's a huge slumlord, runs Jerusalem Management Group. He's actually my landlord because I live in one of the college areas. He has a lot of college properties, but also a lot of low-income properties. And in fact, one tenant once said to me, if you're poor in the city of Albany, you've rented from Asaf. So we're organizing tenants there around a lot of code enforcement issues. Recently, he condemned a property a unit where one of our tenants lived because she hasn't had heat since summer. So that's really not going great. They're basically just structurally evicting a lot of tenants, but there's still a lot of energy there that we're fighting. And also we're organizing some tenants, or at least working with tenants at Clinton Ave Apartments, which is owned by Home Leasing. Home Leasing is a pretty nice organization on the surface, right? They go in, they buy distressed properties, they fill it with low-income tenants. And then at least at this property, half of the tenants are in supportive and permanent housing. So kind of like assisted living where people work with you. You have a housing counselor on site, whatever. Huge issues there. A lot of sewage issues. One tenant claims that she lost her leg because the sewage in her apartment infected a wound that resulted in her leg being amputated. That's a huge story.
We only have 20 seconds left. So Kenyon Ryan and United Tenants of Albany, people want to connect with you guys, how best to do that?
518-436-8997, extension 3. And you can always just say you're trying to talk to Kenyon and I'll call you back.
Thank you very much. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
But with me right now is the great Roxanne Wilkins, community organizer, woman about town, and a great person in Hudson. Roxanne, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I am doing good. We've seen each other a lot over the years. But I see you now more because, you know, I'm doing work with your son and with your daughter over at Lifeforms. And so you're frequently there at the events.
Yes.
It must feel good. I mean, you know, seeing your kids, do wonderful things in the community and have such an impact.
It is wonderful to see. I've been watching Hudson since 88, and uh-huh. to watch to see the young people coming and bringing back what they feel about home and life and bringing life back to the community is wonderful to see. And it being my own children that are doing is just extra wonderful.
And they are doing such a great job because they are adding to the cultural and enhancing and exposing rich culture of the area. So that, you know, they are just wonderful people. And we're talking about Tanya and Loki, and they have done so many wonderful things in the community. But this interview is to talk about you. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Yes, you wanted to talk.
Well, you're just coming back from a trip to Africa, and it sounded so exciting. And we just got to talk for a minute, but I said, you know, I got to talk to the people and let the people on the radio hear about your ventures and what you found and the coordinations that you're doing with the people. And it just sounds so wonderful. So why don't we first start, though, for those who don't know you, tell our audience a little bit about yourself.
To talk about my son?
No, yourself. Let's talk about you a little bit before we talk about what you're doing.
About me, we are about bringing, making it the atmosphere for love to feel comfortable in our zone. And so all of the projects that we're doing makes that atmosphere real. And so that's why everything seems to be so magnificent.
Well, you're doing a great job, and you do a lot in Philmont, and you've been out in Philmont early on. I mean, you might have been the first family of color, black family in Philmont. I don't know.
Yeah, and speaking, we've been working. I've been working in this county since '88, working with families in crisis since '88. This thing, this spot in Philmont, has been a work in progress since 2019, trying to get a spot of a faith in Philmont to encourage people that we can do this,
and
to bring the resources that are everywhere else to be able to have Philmont be able to have some resources also.
Absolutely, and you guys are doing such a great job. Whether you're working with kids or adult, you are all about working in the community and spreading love and harmony and positivity.
Yes, as a way of changing the tone of everything. The way we're not being able to interact with one another, this tone, like what Lokey is saying, that love is the key. We're seeing that when you actually operate with that mantra as a reality, that you can actually change the tide of the energy that's been working in this county against everyone.
You're right. So I mean, and I think you have to, and if it's one thing that we've learned with the pandemic and all the social justice movements that's been happening, especially last year with a lot of the books that are coming out, they highlight the fact that you have to be very purposeful and intentional when fighting against bias, against racism, against a lot of the social ills. You just can't be passive. It has to be an active act. You have to go out every day and think about how you can be a participant that combats what's already there.
I love to hear that. That's exactly true. It has to be intentional. It can't just be conversational. At Hawthorne Valley, we started a diversity group. And since then, back in 2017-19, we started one. But since then, in all of the conversations I've had with people since then, it has become obvious that it can't just be something that we talk about. It has to be an intentional thing that you're willing to make moves towards. But it's hard to do that. It's hard to even see a way around that. That's why Lokey's open mic, that makes it possible, because it helps people find words and hear words. In Philmont, we're doing community circles. That helps people hear each other's hearts. That intentional things that we have to do to best move.